This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 233 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome to the show. On this week's show, we're going to complete our Disney Nerds Attraction Madness. We're going to do our final four and our final match to come up with the main attraction of the year. With me tonight to help me out is Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is great, Ed. It is wonderful to be here with you tonight. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Now, Jimmy and Lisa wanted to be here with us tonight to do this final four and final, but unfortunately they could not be. And we did get their picks, though, so we'll be ready to go. And we also have, as we've had through the entire tournament, our Disney Nerds, our Disney Nerds community. So thank you guys for your votes out there. You definitely helped us a lot, and you're going to have a lot to say for this final four.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for voting. You did that out at DisneyMadness.com. And I have to say, absolutely impressed with the amount of votes that we got. A little more every round, which was incredible. Thanks for your votes and your participation. And Ed, I'm already looking forward to next year. I don't know what we're going to do, but it'll be fun next March.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. Also, after we do that final four and the final match, we're going to talk a little bit more Disneyland Paris. We're going to go one more show before we get too far away from that and kind of go over some of the things that we might have missed out when I was talking with the kids and answer some of the questions that we've had asked about it too.
Which, by the way, that show with the kids is amazing. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It's full of information and questions I wanted to ask you right then. So I hope that I remember those questions so that I can ask you after we're done with the final four and the championship match.
Right. Okay, well, let's get to that final four. I've been itching for this one.
So how do you want to go with this here tonight, Ed, since it's just me and you and we have five votes to be counted? Mine, yours, Lisa's, Jimmy's, and the community.
Well, we'll go back and forth between the others, and then we'll do our two at the end of each round.
Works for me.
So we'll go with the first bracket. We're going to go with the Haunted Mansion, the number one out of the Magic Kingdom bracket, I believe it was, versus Space Mountain, number five attraction. What was that, the Epcot bracket?
I believe that it was the Epcot side. Not that they really mattered, but once you get to the final four, all bets are off. This is now waiting to get into that championship match.
There you go. So now the Haunted Mansion was the winner last year. Not that there's any pressure on it. Although, I don't know. I feel like there could be maybe an upset. We'll have to see. Well, let's start with the voting.
Lisa has voted Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, that's right. Actually, that's not a surprise. I do remember we're talking about that a lot. Okay, how about our Disney Nerds community? How'd they go with this one?
The community is, and as they have been for the entire tournament, absolutely all in with the Haunted Mansion with 83% of the votes. Haunted Mansion, 2-0.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, he talked a good talk about both of these attractions coming up through the tournament. However, when it came down to it, he went with the Haunted Mansion.
3 votes for the mansion. So we are finishing the formalities with myself and you, Ed. I will also toss my vote over to the Haunted Mansion. Nothing against Space Mountain, but I think in this particular matchup, you have to look at the seeding and how things kind of worked throughout the tournament. And Space Mountain was up against some really good attractions, pulled an upset because this is number five making the final four. But at the end of the day, Haunted Mansion is just such an iconic Walt Disney World attraction that you have to go Haunted Mansion.
Oh, sure. It's got so much going for it. Space Mountain, once you get inside the mountain, it's pretty much the Dark Mountain. Very cool.
Unless we had Hyperspace Mountain, which is a Disneyland Paris question. Well, I'll table that one.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And we will talk about that. That's definitely worth it. Okay. So I also am going with Haunted Mansion to make it a clean sweep.
Clean sweep in the final four. Wow.
That's a tough one, too, because
– it is.
And then it's not, because when you do look at it, and you're right – Space Mountain is an awesome ride, but when compared against Haunted Mansion, not so much. Okay, moving on to the other game, the other round, the other match. We have the number one Pirates versus the surprising number 10 Flight of Passage. So for this one, we're going to go with Jimmy first. And Jimmy selected the Flight of Passage attraction. So he went right away with that, and he's been pretty much of a supporter of that one throughout the entire tournament.
He absolutely has.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. How about our Disney Nerds community? What did they say?
The Disney Nerds community is 62% going with the number one seeded Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh, there you go. 1-1. Interesting. So now for this one, which way did Lisa go?
Lisa, for this attraction, and I'm sure, I am positive that somewhere in the live show, these two, Jimmy and Lisa, have talked about this and dove into this, and I'm sure it will come up as topics later. Lisa went Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, there you go. 2-1 Pirates. Staying close. Let's see if it runs away. You know what? Let me go next. I gave this one a lot of thought because Pirates is my attraction. I really, really liked Pirates ever since I was a little kid. The hairy leg and everything. However, Flight of Passage, I feel, is such a better attraction, and they put so much into it, and I think there's still so much I've yet to see. I went with Flight of Passage.
2-2. Ed, you are leaving me with the tiebreaker.
That's what it should be in these final four games. Or final.
You are leaving me with a tiebreaker and a soapbox that I am about to stand up on. I come from the camp that number one, Flight of Passage, is an amazing attraction. You absolutely should ride it. Flight of Passage is not new technology. Flight of Passage is Soarin' 2.0. Flight of Passage is based on characters that I have no idea who these people are, but you could say the same for Pirates of the Caribbean. I granted, and I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my concern on what we went to. And I know initially this was, you have to vote, what would you do? But I can't do this without thinking, okay, what am I going to go on and what does 11-year-old Jimmy want to go on? And I'll get back to why I bring that up in just a second. When I look at technology, Flight of Passage is absolutely amazing. What they've built with Flight of Passage and the way that you get up into it and the way that you sit down is not Disney. It's another company that came up with that. What Disney did is changed it slightly. In fact, our Canadian friends are probably well aware of Soarin' Over Canada or the Flyover Canada, which is from soaringattractions.com. And you can look this up, S-O-A-R-I-N-G, attractions.com. It looks exactly like the ride system for Soarin' in a system like Flight of Passage where you walk up the steps and you get to it. Now, I'm going to digress for just a second. What is so cool about this is the entire thing was taken with a helicopter and choreographed like the original Soarin', and they change it based on the season. So if you go to ride this attraction that happens to be in a few places in Canada – if you go during Halloween, you fly over Canada on Halloween night. If you go during Christmas, you fly over on Christmas night. Absolutely amazing. But I digress with a little bit of that, and I'm going to swing back. what Disney did is took that concept and created a pretty cool ride system where now you're going to sit inside this Banshee, and it sounds like a great idea. You sit in it, you can feel it breathing under you, but I think that it went slightly too far. And here's what I mean. 11-year-old Ed, 11-year-old Jimmy, 11-year-old Sam, I think we talked about 11-year-old Lisa, remembers going through Pirates of the Caribbean and seeing the hairy leg and that having impression on us and that impression keeping and that really turning us into Disney nerds because we started looking for the details when we saw that. We looked for all of the cool things that were happening. My issue with Flight of Passage is that Disney missed the ability to put some seats in here that are on the bottom row that don't move that anybody can sit in. The fact that you have to get into one of these Banshee things is restricting and limited. If you're in a wheelchair, you can't ride this. And here's where I'm going to get back to the 11-year-old Jimmy. I took my youngest son and we waited in line for Avatar. We waited for the couple of hours. We looked at all the cool stuff in the queue and we helped ourselves walk through the story, even though we're not all that familiar with the story. We get up to this Banshee and you go through two pre-show rooms, right? Which are a little bit creepy and sort of creepy out. And you sit down in this thing. What is this? And you sit in it and this thing comes up around your back and hits you and it starts to shake. And as soon as it does that, my 10-year-old has this look of terror on his face, and he absolutely doesn't want to be there. And my memory of this attraction is him being absolutely terrified that this thing just went around him and started shocking him. And because of that, I cannot vote for Flight of Passage. Flight of Passage has no business being past the second round when it lost to Toy Story Mania. My vote is Pirates of the Caribbean. And I'm off my soapbox.
Literally shocking him or just shocked him that it like just appeared on his back?
So here's where it goes. It's the thing comes up and it wraps around you. And if you pay attention, this is when you're linking to the Banshee. So it vibrates around you, right? And it's scary to somebody that's not expecting that.
Sure.
And now this is assuming you can fit in it. And I just remember that look of terror on him. Like, what did you make me do? You told me this is going to be fun. And the problem I have with it, Disney, that's his memory of Flight of Passage. He doesn't remember any of the queue. He doesn't remember any of the ride. He just remembers that thing going around him and him never going to ride it again. That's a 180 complete opposite of the experience we had as 11-year-olds on Pirates of the Caribbean that made us Disney nerds.
Sure, sure.
And that's my issue with this ride.
Right, and you're going to get that reaction from anybody. I mean, I can remember having people react to pirates even in the negative, too. They were just scared of pirates. But yeah, you know, that's exactly how it is. Everybody's going to have their own concern. I do like your, I do like the comment about having somewhere you don't have to ride a Banshee to experience it. I do agree. They probably could have done that and, probably could
on
have
the
done
very
that
bottom.
Well.
All you got to do is think about it. The very bottom row. And by the way, there are attractions in other theme parks where you roll a wheelchair right into the bottom row that doesn't move. You put the glasses on and you get to experience the thing around you, but you're just not in the Banshee, which is restricting and limits a fair number of people from being able to ride that attraction.
Right. Yep.
Now, all of this said, Avatar is great technology and it's awesome. And you're right. You can see different things all the time. There's just some things that I think they got wrong. When I look at Disney, and one of the reasons I do this, why I started doing my videos, Disney's the one place where I could take my family, my elementary school kids, middle school and high school all together and everybody have a great time. This attraction to me didn't hit that mark. But for me personally, it does, if that makes sense. I like it. Well, but yeah. I'm saying pirates over it.
You live through the terror of your kids. I totally get that.
My vote is pirates. Pirates moves on. The number one versus the number one. Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow.
And I'm positive that later there. And I know. And I hope that Jimmy's listening and he's screaming right now that I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Because someday we'll be able to have that conversation. Right, Jimmy?
No doubt. No doubt you will. Okay, guys. So now you've had all week to vote on that final round. Because we were able to put this together early for you. So we're going to go ahead and do the final outcome of the Haunted Mansion versus Pirates right now. Okay, so for this one, we're going to start with Jimmy. And he kind of went right to the Haunted Mansion. So that's a good start for the Haunted Mansion. The winner of last year, again, not to put pressure on an attraction. Okay, so next, let's go to Lisa. Who'd she vote for?
I have Lisa's vote right here, and it's no surprise Lisa is voting the Haunted Mansion.
That's two.
That's two.
Okay. How about let's go with you next.
Go with me next. Well, you know what? Here, flip a coin. Absolutely, positively flip a coin between the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. In fact, where's about halfway between the two of these? Maybe right around the Hall of Presidents. You stand right there. You flip a coin. Which direction am I going to go for my last attraction?
What has the least wait time, you know, on the app? That's what you do.
Okay. But if it's 5 minutes either way, this literally for me is flip a coin. But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to Pirates of the Caribbean because I want to check out all the new changes that they've made, not just the auction scene, but I think there's some other little surprises and updates they made throughout there that I haven't been able to confirm yet, but I'm going over to Pirates of the Caribbean to check that out.
Nice. So we're going 2-1 right now, Haunted Mansion of Pirates. So it's close. And you know what? I'm going to go next. We're going to let our Disney Nerds community go last because I think they deserve to actually go last. As you heard in the previous round, Pirates was my go-to ride, my attraction that I liked when I was very small up till now. And now that I don't have Flight of Passage to get in the way, I'm going with Pirates. So we're at
2-2, Pirates and Mansion. It's a dead heat. And we are up to the Disney Nerds community to decide the champion of the 2018 Attractions Magic Tournament. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, guys. Help us out here. Who'd you vote for?
The Disney Nerds community with a drum roll in the background. The Haunted Mansion, 66%, getting 2/3 of the vote. Haunted Mansion defends its championship.
Wow. Holy, that's great.
You
a little sad, but still incredible an attraction can go like that, two different tournaments.
I will also say that during my recent trip, shout out to Jimmy, hopefully he's listening, he pointed out some pretty cool things around the Haunted Mansion and things that we are going to have to talk about on the show in the future, specifically the interactive queue and the graveyard scene and some of the hidden messages and how things are all connected together. It's really cool. It's probably also a cool walkthrough someday when we're all down there together.
Oh, no doubt. That could be a fun time.
But again, flip a coin for this one, Ed. And at the end of the day, are any of the 64 attractions that were on our list bad? I don't think any of them are bad.
No, not at all. However, some are less bad than others.
Some are just great. Well, that's the if you go back to the first, there were 64 in our tournament, but there were 70 attractions. So some didn't make it. But hey, it is what it is. There's no –
They have plenty of time to get ready. If we don't do attractions next year, we'll do something else. We will more than likely come back to attractions in a couple years, though. They've got so many new things opening up in the next 12, 18 months that how can we not?
It'll be amazing, the difference, and we alluded to it a couple of shows ago, between the Ratatouille ride coming to Epcot and Guardians of the Galaxy and of course, the Slink Gods coaster and, my gosh, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and the Planet of Batuu. I don't think you can go wrong anywhere. There are definitely some world-class Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four potentials in what I just named.
Yep, totally looking forward to it. Okay, so after all that excitement, we're going to come down a little bit and move back over to Disneyland Paris.
I don't know if that's coming back again, Ed. Come on, this is awesome. You got to go to Disneyland Paris and experience it with your kids. That's incredible.
I'm still trying to get over it, to be honest with you. It really hasn't sunken in after a week or two after since we've been back and all. It just seemed to happen so fast beforehand, and it was a pretty incredible trip.
Maybe that's good that it happened so fast, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just do it. Don't overanalyze. Just go.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, there really wasn't much more we could have done planning-wise anyway beforehand. You really had to just get there and start moving around.
Sure.
And it worked out perfectly. And we lucked out in a lot of different ways. We really weren't sure where the hotel was compared to where the park was. And we lucked out. We were like right across the – I wouldn't call it a lake. We're right across the waterway from the park. So it was pretty cool.
Very nice. And actually, you just posted a photo report from the hotel that you stayed at. Why don't we start there a little bit? Tell me a little bit more about this Kula Lodge, some of the pictures you take, and anything that really stuck out. Because here's what I've learned from some of these trips. I remember more when I go back and go through the pictures to do a photo report like this than when I was actually there.
Oh, right. And it's a Sequoia Lodge. It is it's modeled after the Wilderness Lodge, kind of like the Pacific Northwest look to it. The cast members were all wearing park ranger type costumes, uniforms. And the place itself was pretty incredible. I mean, it really looked like you're in the Pacific Northwest. And I think kind of just the way that the weather is around that area makes it easy to do that. It was probably 40s, 50s while we were there. So the pine trees really wasn't tough for them to be like looking natural in that environment.
Sure.
The hotel itself was pretty cool. It had something odd in the opening or the beginning of it, which they don't have anywhere else. They have an actual metal detector. And it's just like the airport metal detectors where as soon as you get there, you get off the bus with your luggage. And you go to this little room, you put your luggage onto the conveyor belt, and it goes through the same machine that it goes through at the airport. And then you walk through a metal detector yourself, and you get the wand treatment. Everybody's got smiles, and everybody's trying to make it as easy as possible. But it's still kind of an odd thing to do that after you've just gotten there from the airport doing the same stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of – I could see that, but I understand, right? That's what we're getting to.
Right. And, there was a lot more security in Europe, we found, and we saw going into the Disney parks down in Florida, you see a lot of the state troopers are hanging out or local police are hanging out, and they've got uniforms. It looks more military, the security they have hanging out around Disneyland. But again, I guess it's just kind of based on what it is. It's the same type of security we saw in Paris also. So,
makes sense. I see in your photo report, Ed, is that an ice skating rink?
It is. Where we were located, we were across the waterway or the lake from Disney Village. And as we walked over it to it, we had to walk past the New York Hotel. The New York Hotel had an outdoor skating rink, which was one of those plastic skating rinks. So it's there year round. And you can borrow the skates or rent the skates in the little building right next to it. And it was named Rockefeller Center, or was labeled Rockefeller Center.
That's kind of cool.
It was. Now, when you see the picture of the New York Hotel, though, it kind of is a stereotype-looking New York City skyline. Yeah, the kids and I were kind of like trying to figure it out.
It looks like a bunch of steel mills, if you ask me.
Right. Well, yeah, sure. Or a bunch of condos or something.
It's just interesting, and it makes me think, could you imagine an ice skating rink at a hotel in any Disney park in the U.S.? I mean, if there's a Canadian hotel coming somewhere, or maybe they could put an ice skating rink in Canada.
You know what it would have been, though? I could have seen if they would use this material at the All-Star Sports, and you had Goofy on the side in his hockey gear, perhaps.
Okay.
So the potential is there for a little bit. However, I think just the matter of people falling down and getting hurt would prohibit it from anywhere in the United States.
I would think so. And you know, when it's – what do you have a window of? Maybe you could do it in January and February and that's it in Florida?
No. Hang on a second. It's a material that doesn't melt. It's plastic.
Oh, really?
So it is a year-round ice skating rink, and it's made
out of – It's not ice. It's just some kind of plastic. That's cool.
It's a very slick plastic material. You still are using some type of skates. They weren't rollerblades. They looked like they were blades. And it's a definitely year-round thing, which is, again, why you could have had this down at the All-Star Sports, perhaps, as some type of – but, again, the falling factor, I don't know.
Is it soft? Did you try it?
No, we didn't try it, and it was hard. It was hard like ice. It was definitely a hard surface. We walked past it a bunch of times, and even though that picture doesn't have anybody on the rink, every other time we passed by it, there was at least four or five people skating around.
Cool. Very nice.
You kind of think of it as like mini golf down in Florida. There's not always a ton of people on those courses.
But there's a couple of people here and there. Yeah.
They tend to like all the time on it.
Yeah. All right. So
When we come out of the back of the Sequoia, if you look right is where the New York Hotel was. If you look left is where the Newport Hotel was, which was kind of like a beachfront type of resort.
It looks like the beach club maybe, but bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was huge. It was really, really big. Our bus coming from the airport stopped there first, then for us. And then if you're looking out the back of our hotel straight across, that's where Disney Village is. And on the other side of Disney Village was the Disneyland Park and the Hollywood Studios Park. Now, what was cool, and I got a picture of this too, is that they had one of those observation balloons, just like they do down in Florida.
Sure.
The red and white
stripe. Characters in flight, I believe.
Yeah. And this one was this one was called Magique, something Magique. I have it on the website, on the post. And it was not in operation. We lucked out because they were testing it out. So we got the, we got a couple pictures of it in the sky. But the rest of the time we were there, it was pretty much grounded down on the floor, on the dock.
Sure. So it also looks like you might have been able to see the golden arches across the way for the McDonald's.
Well, now, and that's kind of like, I guess, the comfort factor of Disney Village. The Disney Village is the same as our downtown Disney or our Disney Springs in Florida or the Disney Springs or what do they call it in California. And I tell you what, it's much more closer to the California version because you have the two parks right there. And then the third direction is the Disney Village.
Sure, and it looks like that. It's a space thing where you have all everything sort of walking distance where, and I've said many times, right, Walt Disney World has the blessing of size and the curse of size. And, and when I say that, I mean things are far apart. You have to plan where you want to be. But at Disneyland, you can have a breakfast in Disneyland and then lunch at Downtown Disney and dinner in California Adventure or flip them around any way you want.
Sure.
Looks like you could have done this here.
Yep, very easily. And put those other three hotels or four hotels into the mix too. The one hotel I didn't mention was the Disneyland Hotel at Disneyland Paris, which is the entrance to the Disneyland Park.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty cool.
It was. And it's kind of like you have to wrap your mind around it a little bit. As you're walking up to the Disneyland Park, you go through security. And oh, and that's really kind of a cool thing too. If you're walking from the resorts, you went through your own security check. As opposed to if you took the bus from the resort to the bus stops at Disneyland Paris and then you got off there and you went through the security checks, that's where everybody from the parking lots and the buses all go through. So the line was huge every time you would do that, and we stopped. We just walked.
So you went through security at your hotel before you got on the bus?
Well, actually, all the hotels walked into the one choke point right before we got in the Disney Village.
Okay, got it.
But if you did take the bus from the resort, once you got off the bus, it was in such an area that it funneled with everybody from the parking lot and the buses into their security area. It was just such a pain in the butt doing it that way.
Got it.
It kind of reminded me of Hollywood Studios, where you used to have that really cool security entrance on the left side. I think we might have mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
Perfect. It was exactly like that, where it was almost
used
like a
private
entrance.
Used to be. It's so it's not there anymore. It's so disappointing.
Yeah. And their security check had the same thing where they have your bags go through a conveyor belt machine and then you just yourself went through one of those walkthroughs. Although I went through with mixes of crap in my pockets by accident that I got through. So I'm not too sure how great the walkthrough machines really are between cameras and change and stuff that I normally would be checking out. Disney Village itself was pretty cool and it had really – really familiar stories. You're talking about McDonald's. We went in McDonald's one day, just the kids wanted to get something they were familiar with. And they had the, and I had to take a picture of it. They had the Royale, which is their version of the Quarter Pounder. And if anybody's, if anybody's a Pulp Fiction fan, you remember Vince Vega explaining the whole reason behind it, because of course a Quarter Pounder in Europe doesn't exist since they use the metric system.
Right. I never thought about that, but so, it makes complete sense.
And it was cool to see it on a menu being real. So, I mean, that's kind of the weird stuff.
That
I
is
like.
Cool. Of course, a Starbucks nearby and the World of Disney store.
Earl of Sandwich. They had an Earl of Sandwich. Although, I tell you
Earl
what.
Earl of Sandwich.
Ever since seeing him on the Turnpike in Florida, I've kind of lost a little of the shine. But there's no better place I can guarantee to get the same good sandwich every time for less than $7.
I agree with that.
And the price was somewhat similar over there. It was like 650 euros, which ended up being like $7.50 or, you know, $8. So still very, very comparable. And it was right on. I always get the number one, the roast beef. And it was perfect.
Very good.
Now, we did eat at another restaurant at Disney Springs the first night there called Annette's. Annette's was, I'm going to say it's kind of like a malt shop, you know, a shake place, 50s themed.
Yeah.
Type of thing where you sit down at tables, you have the stereo at the tables, you throw money into it. None of them worked, but you had the look to it. The waitresses were on roller skates. It was,
cool.
And as far as language went, they spoke English very well, and it was never an issue. Leslie kind of got us to ask every time, parlez-vous anglais, just so we kind of break the ice and try to speak a little French before we say we don't know anything else. And that seemed to be kind of cool. Everybody kind of appreciated that, it seemed like.
Any hidden Annette Funicellos or anything like that around?
You know, we were looking and we did not see anything. And it didn't even really kind of get the theme of that it was based on Annette Funicello from outside, but how can it not be?
Looks like a 50s car hop. That's right. What I'm seeing when I look at pictures.
Right, pretty much, which, you know, maybe based on her and Frankie Avalon movies, perhaps.
It could be.
They had a couple other restaurants. Their big show, you know how we have the Hoop-Dee-Doo review and things
right.
like that?
Yep.
Their big show is a Mickey's Rodeo type show, Buffalo Bill Mickey show or something like that, where they actually had an indoor rodeo along with the characters being involved and stuff like that. We did not attend it. It was, you need reservations and they were way out. But
yeah,
it was,
you only got a few days. I don't know if there's time for that.
Oh, sure. No. And it was interesting in that the area that it, like where the entrance was and the outside, really did not look that big compared to how big it was inside. When we were on the bus, we could see videos of what it looked like inside, and it's a pretty big like arena. So that was pretty cool.
Very nice. So once you get past Disney Village, it looks like Disney Studios Park is to the left with Disneyland straight ahead. Mm-hmm. Want to head over to the Studios Park real quick?
Yeah, sure. Now the studios.
And I
know,
so here's what I see, which looks really cool, and I want to ask you about this. Mm-hmm. You enter through the front gates, and then it looks like you go into a really big building that almost looks like a mall or a Las Vegas-type building where you're in a huge dome area and there's different things inside of it?
Sure. The building itself, I think, is supposed to be like a soundstage off a studio. So it's a big, empty, like, hangar building. However, inside of it, they've got a bunch of stores and a bunch of restaurants. That
looks
you walk
like the
through.
Brown Derby, Hollywood Vine.
But it's not real Brown Derby, though. It's counter service Brown Derby. So it's coming like mimicking Hollywood type restaurants. We ate in one of the restaurants in there on the studio side. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
The Leaky Tiki?
You know what? Maybe.
And it just sounds interesting. It's a place I might look into.
They have and they had two floors of seating. So you got your food downstairs and you went upstairs. The entire place was like maybe two football fields wide. And to be honest with you, it was really kind of a bottleneck when it got crowded. And when it was raining, it was even worse because everybody was hanging out in there too.
Yeah, it's almost like take Main Street and put it inside a big dome. A big
somewhat.
Building.
Oh, yeah. And actually, when we talk about Disneyland Paris, we talked about arcades and similar to that. Yeah, exactly. An arcade totally covered with stores and restaurants as you're walking through it. I did think it was kind of odd because you could spend a lot of time in there and not even get in the park yet. So it was a little weird in that regard. Now, once you did get into the park, you had somewhat of a surprise because in front of you, and I think this is kind of mimicking California, is the partner statue.
Yep.
Disney and Mickey are right there in Walt Disney Studios as you walk in. Straight ahead from you, you see the Hollywood Hills, and then you can pretty much go whatever you want. Now, the park itself is very small. You literally could walk from one side of this one to the other in 10 minutes. The thing that made
so small, we're talking Hollywood Studios right now without Toy Story Land or Star Wars, that size? Or what can you compare it to?
Yeah. That sounds pretty good because without
the Streets of America and without right. yep. the other things we had.
And
okay.
basically as you walk through it, you came to where you had a choice between Toy Story Land and France where the Ratatouille ride was, which was kind of funny because they have an area looking like France that they're in France already.
That is interesting because you're not all that many miles from the Eiffel Tower and you go on the ride to see an Eiffel Tower.
Correct. Although I don't remember seeing the Eiffel Tower in it,
okay.
but it probably was there. Yeah, who's to say? The Ratatouille ride itself, since we're down here talking about it, incredible. I can't wait till it gets to Florida. We went on that probably four times, maybe five times.
Nice.
Single rider line, we did it the first time we saw it. We got right onto it, and we were both in the same car for that, so yeah, you never know.
I see that it accepts fast passes. How did the fast pass system work there? Was it all tied into My Disney Experience or is this paper system or what was that?
Paper system, just like California.
Send somebody ahead and get the fast passes? And
correct. Yep, same exact system. And we had one snafu when we were getting on to, what was it? Was it Star Tours?
So it was linked to your ticket then, or did you actually get a paper thing?
We got a paper thing.
Okay, because in California now, you get a paper thing, which is your reminder, but you have to have your pass that you used to get into the park to redeem it.
Right, and it's still in California, I got to think that even if you get to the line with your pass and it doesn't work, which I'm sure it does in still, that paper pass is probably used a lot to like. I still have it. Well, the one snafu is that the machine didn't give me a ticket, but because it took my ticket inside of it, it kind of registered on the system that I got one.
Oh,
but the guy just wrote on Quinn's ticket just times two. So when we got up there, it was times two with his initials, and that's all it took. And that was for Star Tours, which is right next to we jump parks. Let's stay in Walt Disney Studios.
that's all right, but we will get back over there.
Tower of Terror, an observation with Tower of Terror was it was a very cool ride. You don't come out of the shaft. You stay inside the shaft.
Hang on. So there is no where it pushes forward and goes through the different rooms and things.
Correct. Got it. And it was really kind of odd. And I did talk about this with the kids a little bit, but I want your take on this too, is when you get on the ride, okay, you're in the basement, the elevator door opens up, you go through this little like passageway, not passageway, but it's like a room almost. Then you go through a second door onto the ride itself and you get in your seats. So what happens is after the ride goes, and the drop sequence was pretty cool. I mean, it was a really, really good drop sequence. When you get done, you get up out of your seats, and instead of going into a different room because you're back in the same place, you come out into that little gap area I was mentioning, and you go left. So the main doors to the basement stay closed until the entire ride empties out. And then once that ride empties out, the doors open up and they load it up again. So you don't go to that like other room downstairs.
No, I get it. You're unloading and loading at the same place. Right. They're just like holding the people coming in until it's empty, and then they let you in. Mm-hmm. I get it. Is the pre-show the same?
Yes. Same thing, but in French.
Same thing, but in French. There you go.
And that one, I'm pretty sure was French all the time. Now, Star Tours was a back and forth between French and English. Hyperspace Mountain was back and forth. But Hollywood, Walt Disney Studios, the ride, I got to say, was probably the best ride was the Crush roller coaster.
I was just going to ask you about the Crush coaster because it looks like it's completely inside. There were rumors for a long time that this thing was going to come to Hollywood Studios, and that did not happen in Florida. What is Crush's coaster?
And it's funny because I could see this one maybe being in Disney, in Magic Kingdom. I could see this one being in Animal Kingdom. Hollywood Studios would have been the last choice for me. I could see it over
Epcot. Well, and the whole Pixar thing. That's why it was rumored, but. Okay.
So the roller coaster itself is pretty cool in that it is a car similar to Toy Story Mania, except shaped like a shell. There's four people, two facing forward, two facing backward. Now, because the shell rotates, it doesn't matter who's facing forward or backwards. But for the first like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and we were talking to the kids because the kids love this too, it's like you're on the Nemo ride at Epcot. I mean, you're really kind of going slow. And you're seeing Nemo in the screens and his friends, and you're seeing the anglerfish with the big teeth, and he's moving around. But then you go around a curve, and you're at the top of a hill of a big, big room with a roller coaster in it. And then you really are on a roller coaster. And it was a really smooth, really, really good roller coaster. And, of course, you're spinning around in your shell.
Is it you spin it, or it spins part
itself.
Of the ride?
And it's
spins
not, itself. Yeah, and it's not bad. It's not as like gratuitous as the Animal Kingdom dinosaur, the spinning one there.
That's sort of what I was wondering.
Yeah, no. It doesn't seem like it's that bad. And to be honest with you, I don't remember the spinning as much as I remember how great the roller coaster was. It was great. Now, what's kind of cool, too, in the beginning is it shoots you outside real quick, through a little dip into like some water, and then it kind of brings you back inside. So there is a real quick outside trip on this one. Now, one of the things we discovered was that they do have extra magic hours only in the mornings from 8:30 to 9:30. The parks themselves opened at 10, which is crazy. Walt Disney Studios closed at 6 every day.
10 to 6.
Which is even crazier. So now we went to there for our magic hours. And we still waited 45 minutes for the Crush roller coaster because they unfortunately only had three rides open for extra magic hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Which we didn't realize. And, I might have gotten that figuring out and getting ready for the parks. It still didn't matter. We were online. We were having a good time. And the whole theme of the trip was we're there to see Quinn. So what better way to catch up than being stuck online for 40 minutes?
You know what? You're right, man. That you had ulterior motive there, and standing in line was a good thing. Yep. I get it. Studios looks great. I mean, I'd love to check this thing out.
Tower of Terror was really cool. Now, it was pretty funny because we noticed when we went to the back of the Tower of Terror, it was very plain. And we're like, why isn't it decorated? What a waste. When we were in the Lights, Motor, Action stunt show, we figured it out why. Because the Tower of Terror is right in front of you as you're looking over the set. So if it looked really super Tower of Terror, it would have taken away from that set of the French
from town. From the scene that you're in back there. Correct. Makes sense.
Correct.
Now, there's always a reason, right?
Right. And it was super cool to figure that out afterwards. I was looking at my pictures. The biggest thing about the Lights, Motor, Action was that it was fun to do. They let us walk out kind of on the set to the left side. So we kind of walked through the set and the stage and stuff like that.
That is kind of neat.
Yeah, because in Florida, you always had to walk out between the stairs underneath.
Sure, and then all the way back around.
Right. Trying to think of any else that stood out. Their big attraction...
Catastrophe Canyon, that had to bring back some memories.
That was good in that it was pretty much right on with Florida as far as the latter version of it, where you went through the stunt part of it where the flames and the truck... The second area they went through, though, was pretty cool, is that it was from the movie about dragons that Christian Bale was in. Quinn had the name right away, too. Well, anyway, you go through this burned-out version of London where the dragons have returned, and you get a blast of fire from one of the dragons. The best part about the backlot tour, however, were our hosts. I had no idea it was going to be... Well, first, it was a French actress who was telling people in French what was going on. And then it was Jeremy Irons telling us English-speaking people what was going on.
Very nice.
Yep. Now, and it's funny because at one point they pull out their phones. So I'm guessing the narration based on Jeremy's his flip phone was probably about 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Still very informative. And I got some video of that. So hopefully I'll get that together and put out too. I tried to take as much video and audio as I could of everything. But it was tough with rain and just kind of running around. So we're still trying to figure out what I have.
Got it. So full day over there. We got to head to Disneyland, which is basically what they call it. This is Disneyland to the locals there.
Correct. Yep.
Through the Disneyland Hotel into the main gates, which is the train station as well here.
Right. Now, it's pretty cool because as you're going under the hotel and the main gates, that's where all the ticket booths are. Very well protected from the weather.
Sure.
Huge amount of space. Like you couldn't believe the amount of back and forth rails that were underneath here, waiting for people to buy their tickets. And, it was just amazing.
In the main street, looks like a big gazebo right in the center of the square in the front. And now I understand what you were talking about when you talked about these arcades. Mm-hmm. And basically saying you have Main Street USA that goes right down the center of Main Street, but then on the far right and on the far left, there are additional entrances, sort of like where the barbershop would be in Florida and where the hat shop is in Florida on the right and on the left.
Right.
And those look like pathways that just take you all the way down Main Street and out the back. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
And either side, you could spend a lot of time in there. If it wasn't like our first time in the park and if we weren't trying to buzz through them to get the stuff, you really can see a lot of stuff. One is based on the Statue of Liberty and the gift that was given to the United States from France and all the history behind it. So you see a lot of things in there about that. The other side was we came up with a theme of a steampunk America because they showed a lot of cities from the United States, but they kind of had like a steampunk tweak to them. So I couldn't really figure out the story in there, but it was all still pretty cool stuff.
That's cool. Looking at Main Street, the one thing that jumps out to me is from Disneyland, California, where the restaurant would be is Walt's, an American restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That looked pretty cool.
Yep. They also,
not that I want to go to Paris and eat in an American restaurant, but you know what I mean.
Right. Oh, yeah, no doubt. They also had their version of the Crystal Palace down at the other end of Main Street on the right side instead of the left. It's really cool going down Main Street because, in all the different parks, they look alike and they look a little bit different.
Yes.
They had windows. I took many pictures. Not many, because there weren't many windows with the names on it. But the ones that were there, I did. So I'll go over those down the road, see if I can recognize any good names.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely saw Marty's name, Sklar, and the Disney brothers, of course. So it was pretty cool. Now, Disneyland Paris has the different castle, as all the parks do. This one wasn't as big as the Florida castle, and it was not as small as the California castle.
Somewhere in between.
Pretty much. And it was pink. That was the other thing that really stuck out, but not birthday cake pink.
But it is an anniversary they're celebrating, isn't it? So it could have been.
True. To be honest with you, I don't know. That's a good point.
I think it's always that color, but I don't know.
Yep. It was their 25th anniversary, which was pretty cool. We caught it then. The 25 Years of Stars is what they called it. And they had a bunch of different shows based on that and a bunch of different attraction like kicks attached to that too, with the number showing up everywhere. Although I think they're getting ready to get out of it once the summer starts. They're getting ready to get into their new thing. They're changing around some of the rides and some of the attractions while we're
there. Their 18-month summer spectaculars over or anniversary.
Right.
That's good.
You got to squeeze as much as you can. Although they're getting ready for Marvel and a bunch of stuff coming up. So
as they are. Absolutely, they are. Now, I would say let's hurry up and run to Tomorrowland because I want to jump on Space Mountain, Hyperspace Mountain, which we'll get to. But I can't find Tomorrowland on this map.
No, and you won't. We were looking for it for a couple seconds. We figured it out. Discoveryland was where we wanted to get to. And it truly was Discoveryland. It was actually, for the amount of attractions and things that they had in it, it probably was the most loaded of the entire park. And Hyperspace Mountain was in there, and that was probably our favorite ride of the entire park too.
So Hyperspace Mountain, now is this permanent or is this just an overlay, or do you know what they did?
The Hyperspace Mountain is an overlay, but it's been staying for a lot longer than I think it was supposed to.
Got it. And that's what Hyperspace Mountain was introduced in Disneyland, California, and it's also in Paris. It's an overlay to Space Mountain, which essentially projects, and Ed, you wrote it, I haven't, but you're projecting Star Wars themed items and sounds all over. I would love to see it.
They use screens inside, so as you're coming up a hill, you're seeing like a big Star Destroyer in front of you with some ships flying around it. They use a lot of not real lasers, but like fluorescent lights that light up in kind of sequence, so they look like beams of lasers shooting by. The ships are shooting each other and stuff like that. You're getting a lot of people telling things like, you know, the pilots and stuff like that, all in French. I think we figured out "May the Force be with you" at the end of it. That was easy to figure out. It came in French. One of the things I keep harping on about this Space Mountain was that once you get to the area where you load into the cars themselves, into the train, you're outside again. You have a roof over your head, but the sides are open, and you're being loaded into a big cannon that then will shoot you into the mountain.
I see exactly what you're talking about now. You can't tell from these pictures that the sides are open.
Correct. Now, when they shoot you up the mountain, and the effect wasn't working where we were there, but when you get to the top of that hill, a big jet of steam shoots out. So everybody around the mountain itself outside knows that something just got shot off.
That's cool.
It was funny because we were on the hill. It was raining the first time. And that part of the hill that was open as you're going up, it's only open for maybe like about 10, 15 feet. You can see the rain pouring down through that one little section.
Very nice. Looks like Star Tours is over there not far. So it's a decent, Hyperspace Mountain right next to Star Tours. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Now, the entire land had kind of a Jules Verne feel to it. Underneath Hyperspace Mountain was the Nautilus attraction, which was a walkthrough attraction. And they had a lot of these different walkthrough attractions in Disneyland where you go through it, you're reading different posters or signs, you're looking at different scenes and things like that. The Nautilus was cool because it was basically looking at the 20,000 Leagues movie, and you were basically walking through some of the sets from the submarine itself.
That's cool because it's actually there.
Yeah, it was very cool. Star Tours, nothing different than Florida at all or California. It was pretty straightforward. We actually didn't even see anything new inside of it. We did go on it when it was a French version, but I understand that one does get switched to English based on whoever's setting it off. It did exit out into a store.
Is that consistent?
Yes, that was very consistent. And then
most of the attractions?
For the most part, yeah. And the
just like Magic Kingdom for the most part. Yeah, some of them don't because it's – but there's a cart with merchandise nearby if they don't.
Well, sure, sure. And the merchandise was very similar to Florida or California. You really couldn't – you were definitely at a Disney park. There was no doubt about that they share merchandise. The same with food quality and the same menu ordering systems. They have the same cash registers. You go on either side.
Got it.
Yeah, right to a T. It's pretty amazing. So Parrot Disneyland itself, some of the other cool things that stood out was that the castle itself has its own dragon underneath of it.
That's cool. You mentioned that in the show with the children.
Yeah, my video didn't come out that great. It was really cool.
So under the castle, like how do you get down under it?
Well, that was kind of cool too because we didn't know. We went through the castle and we first went upstairs because they have an upstairs like kind of level that is open, and it has, again, more things about the castle, story about Sleeping Beauty and things in that. And then we went back downstairs looking for it, and what we had to do is go to the side of the castle. So if you're in the castle itself looking at Main Street, it was on the right side, as if it's the pathway like in the Magic Kingdom down in Florida where you can go down past the castle to Liberty Square on that side.
Right.
And then halfway down on the castle, you saw a lantern or a light post that was shaped like a dragon. So we knew we were getting close, and we went around a corner, and there was the entranceway right there.
Oh, that's cool.
We went down inside there, kind of twisting path, until you finally got to the room that had the dragon in it. Similar, I guess, to the tunnels on Tom Sawyer's Island when you're kind of tooling around underneath there.
With a much better payoff.
Yes, yes. It was a much bigger room, too, and you got to where the dragon was. The dragon wasn't as animated as it could be, but it was still cool.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Another good attraction was the Big Thunder Mountain roller coaster. It was pretty cool, and it was funny because when we checked it out beforehand, we found out it was on an island by itself.
And that's the first thing that I noticed. I'm like, it looks like it is the island in the center. It looks like Tom Sawyer's Island, if you're familiar with Walt Disney World. That's what it looks like. It's the middle of Tom Sawyer's Island.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. You loaded on it on – if you were looking at the map on the bottom side of it, I guess you would say, or on the left side-ish. And you basically went under the river then to get to the mountain and under the river to get back. Other than that, it was pretty similar to a Florida ride. The part where you go back upside the mountain where it's exploding all over you and the dynamite's going off, pretty cool, much better, very well animated.
Nice. So then it sounds like they may have done some of the things that Disneyland has done where the fuse is sort of flickering and following you up the mountain and it blows up and you get out just in time. That's cool.
Right. Now, one of the things we really bummed out about was Phantom Manor was closed, their version of the Haunted Manor.
Yeah. That does kind of stink.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Although there is, looks like an Indiana Jones Temple of Pearl roller coaster not far from where you were.
However, don't let that confuse you with anything Disneyland California in the least. Not even close. Imagine one of those mice roller coasters or the mouse roller coasters. What was the coaster in Disneyland California on the boardwalk?
Goofy Sky School.
Yes, that's what it was, kind of.
That's disappointing.
Right, because when I first saw it originally, I was like, yeah, Indiana Jones, thinking California, and not even close. But, it's still a good ride. However, it's, again, mostly an outdoor roller coaster in 45 degree with rain. So take it with a grain of salt. We unfortunately did not get on that. That was the one or two that we didn't do.
And I could see why, especially in that weather with some rain coming down.
Sure.
And you mentioned Pirates when you were talking to the kids. Tell me Pirates more, Disney World, Disneyland Pirates?
Disneyland, but not as many rooms as Disneyland has. Hands down, Disneyland California is probably the best Pirates, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I've only been on Florida's and California's.
Yep.
And it just made it to the number, to the final match of our –
I know, right?
Attraction Madness. So there you go. And I'm saying the Disneyland is better. Maybe that's next year, Ed. It's an international best attraction, although you'd be the only vote from
That's a Disney. Tough one. Yeah, we wouldn't get as many votes. It has a restaurant inside of it,
cool.
Just like California did. It had the hill inside of it. I guess that's kind of standard now.
Even though it does not go behind the train tracks based on the maps I'm looking at. It doesn't need it.
Right.
That's good.
The Captain Jack treasure room was very quick in coming and very quick in passing. It didn't seem like it was as big a thing as it would have been in the United States. It was pretty good pirates. The line itself is pretty cool because you go through a big jungle actually getting up into it at one point.
That's
so
cool.
You're not always in like the fortress or whatever, you're in Florida.
Nice. How about Peter Pan from when I think Peter Pan, love it. Disney World and Disneyland, they're both great. Disneyland's much shorter than Disney World. Where does this one fit? If you did it.
And we did not, actually. Peter Pan and Dumbo, we didn't do.
Right next to each other.
Yeah. Fantasyland, believe it or not, Fantasyland from the morning throughout the entire day is one of the most crowded lands, and then it seemed to be Discoveryland. And it's funny because even the meet and greets ended up getting big wait times also. I think we're being there on Easter weekend didn't help.
Yeah, that's right. It was Easter.
But, you know, I tell you, considering it was Easter weekend, considering it was the first time we've ever done the parks, we pretty much got on 80% of the rides, if not more.
That's good.
So we definitely did as much as we wanted to do.
That's cool. And I think you mentioned It's a Small World. Dieter did not have characters in it.
It did not. However, it was more California than it was Florida, and it was much, much more colorful than either.
Which nice.
Stood out, which is wild how that happened, but that's something we all three talked about afterwards.
That's cool. Very nice.
Yep. I'm trying to think what else might have stood out. Disneyland itself. The fireworks show was pretty cool. They had another show before the fireworks show, and it was dedicated to the National Wildlife Foundation, and it was kind of a sea-based show. So on top of the castle, a lot of fish, a lot of blue. Unfortunately, my camera didn't get that one too good either.
We kind of had I forget the name of this, and I'm not sure if this was a 25th anniversary special fireworks or if it was something they do all the time.
It was, it took a little page out of the Epcot book. It was a Disney Illuminations show, and I think it is the 25th anniversary based show, which has been there for a while. But on the whole, yeah, I mean, it's a definite Disney fireworks show with animations on the castle. Not as much fireworks as the parks down in the United States at all. It was more just the fireworks that were kind of on either side of the castle. I don't remember being there too many huge in the sky fireworks, but then again, it was raining. That might have had something to do with
it. There were projections on the castle?
Yeah. 75% of the show were projections. It was definitely
cool.
More than
so I remember when that premiered, it was, you know, supposed to blow you away with the projections. And of course, since then we've gotten Happily Ever After. So we have this similar thing happening now at Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. Same show, just a little, you know, little different based on the park.
It sounds like a great trip, dude. Love it.
Oh, it was. It was, and then we got to go to Paris on top of that.
The real Paris, they had very nice,
which was very cool. We got to all the attractions, didn't get into many of them, but that wasn't the point on this trip. It was basically just to cover some space, cover some land. But yeah, hopefully to do it again someday. Really cool to get off that bucket list. And the kids and I were discussing on the plane on the trip back, China or Japan next time. We'll have to see.
Yeah, Tokyo Disney Sea or Shanghai. Very nice.
Look out for Ratatouille. Keep your eyes open for that one. Make sure you get your fast passes. Start looking now.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, we can throw some news out there that Toy Story Land fast passes have become available for Walt Disney World.
Now,
that's kind of cool.
What did the article mean by certain hotels? We weren't able to get that figured out.
Yeah, so I didn't read into the details, but I think it has something to do with what hotel you've already registered at and concierge floor guests and things like that. But
I got my tickets. I got my reservations, and I'm waiting for the real fast passes to come up. We'll have to see.
There you go. I'm sure that they will.
Yep, very cool. Okay, guys, well, that was it for today. We got our attraction madness down. Haunted Mansion taking it one more year.
Haunted Mansion, the undefeated champion when it comes to attraction matches tournaments. That's awesome.
Yep.
Ed, thanks. Thanks for the walk down your recent memories here at Disneyland Paris. It was great to hear. I love it.
Oh yeah. Well, thanks for listening. I can't help but keep talking about it. I'm gonna have to. Shut
I love
up.
It, and that's However, why I wanted to ask you some questions. I appreciate it, and you know,
no problem. And I tell you what, keep watching the YouTube channel for the Disney Nerds podcast. Keep watching our blog. You're gonna see a lot more posts from me about the Disney trip, the Disneyland Paris trip. And you know what, Jimmy, tell them how they can get in touch with us.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at Ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.